Jesus told us to stay awake. A lot of people are asleep right now. A lot of sleeping saints in America. A lot of idols, a lot of other things choking out the life of many believers in America. And God is calling us back to Him, to our first love. God's calling us out of Egypt, to come completely out of Egypt. God's calling His people to come out of Babylon, out of bondage. And the only place of freedom is where the Spirit of the Lord is. And Jesus said, where I am, there my servant will be also. So as you are walking in the Lord, abiding in the Lord, you will walk in His liberty, in His freedom. You will not be bound by anything because He is the liberator. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. When God saves us, He expects us to completely yield our lives back to Him and to give ourselves over to Him for His service. How many believe the Word of God today? We can intellectually agree with it, but do we really believe it? You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is a sign that you're really getting to know the Lord. And the fear of the Lord basically means that you take God seriously. You're serious about your relationship with Jesus. Amen. And it's the fear of the Lord that will protect you from getting into mischief, getting into trouble, getting out of line. Hallelujah. How many know what I'm talking about when you're on the job site and the boss is there? At least it used to be that way. That when the boss was there, you knew you were being watched. You're responsible. Amen. But how many know that the boss would also desire an employee who in his absence would be just as diligent, just as faithful, just as trustworthy as they are in his presence? How many know the Lord is always there? He's gone to heaven, but He has sent His Spirit. And the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those who are loyal to Him. If you and I will obey the Lord, we will experience the blessing, the favor, and the freedom, the full freedom that comes to sons and daughters. If we rebel and we refuse to obey the Lord and His instruction to us by His Spirit as He's dealing with you about something, if you refuse and rebel, you will remain tethered in that area of your life. And that tether is that which would keep you bound to your old past, to your old life. And if you don't sever every tie, hear me, to your old life, eventually that will drag you back into your old life. And you'll become an enemy of the cross. While we were yet sinners, Christ died, redeemed us, brought us to Himself, gave us a new hope, right? A new beginning, a fresh start in life. But God also expects His people to be responsible before Him, not only for our own benefit and for His glory, but for the benefit of others that are watching your life. I'm really shocked to hear some of the stories of things that supposed God's people are involved with today. Occult related toys and items and games and watching movies that, you know, are glorifying the devil, glorifying evil. The Lord says, be holy, for I am holy. And the Bible says, flee from all appearance of evil. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather expose them. And whatever is brought into the light will be exposed. And Jesus said in John 3, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, and they don't come into the light, lest their deeds be exposed. And so we can shut ourselves off, because God will not barge the door down. If you want to keep yourself shut off from God, you can be in the glory of God, you can be in the atmosphere of heaven, and be completely oblivious to what God is doing. You can be shut down, if you will, in the house of the Lord. When you are born again, something happens. When the Spirit of God comes to dwell within you, you become a new creation. You have a heart now that seeks the Lord, that desires to live for the Lord, to please the Lord, to honor the Lord. And you do not want to grieve the Lord when you have the Spirit of God in you. And that Spirit in you will cry out, Abba, Father. You will worship God in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such. He deserves the glory. He deserves the glory. For from him all are things, amen, and to him are all things. For it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Today, God is giving people opportunity to be saved. Last week, I preached out of 1 John 2 and verse 15. And I want to just use that as a base of operation here today, once again. And I ask you, if you would join with me, we're going to have a word of prayer together. But Father God, we thank you so much for everyone you brought here today, Lord, not by accident, but we know that we're here, Lord, for a reason. And we come, Lord, to seek you. We come to hear from you. We want to know you. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to reveal the Father to each one of us. Reveal the heart, the will of the Father to each one of us. Anoint us to hear. And right now, I bind all power of darkness in this place, all the powers of darkness. I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every heart, every mind, every person here. Satan, we reject you in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Have your way. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Coming Out of Babylon. In 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world, the cosmos, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Worldliness is basically the love for passing things. It's making idols out of temporary things. God has given us all things to enjoy, but so easily the things that he's given us to enjoy can become an idol, something that actually comes between us and the Lord. Money, for example, in itself is not an evil thing. Amen. It can be used for good or for evil. But it's the what? Love of money. For 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and what pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money can shipwreck you in your faith. Just as God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, today he's calling the church to come out of the world, out of the cosmos, out of the evil world system that's in rebellion or opposition to the will of God. In the Bible, Babylon represents the world. That is the godless system of this world that's in rebellion to God. So that really represents, Babylon represents that which defies the authority of God. All of us naturally are born defiant, born rebellious, even to God. And that's why when you're raising a child, you need to discipline the child while they're young. because they're born with that sin nature. And they need to learn self-control. And in order to be self-disciplined, you need to discipline your child. And don't wait until they're a teenager to start. Amen. As soon as they start to show the first signs, you need to let them know who the boss is. You do it in love, and you explain to them why. Amen. Just don't tell them because I told you so. I mean, you know that God will always give us warning before he disciplines us. And how many know that God is giving America many warnings right now? And God is beginning to discipline America. And God is saying, it's up to you, church, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And do what? Seek my face, right? And turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Now we know that God is the only one that can really save America. Make America great. He's the one that made us great. Amen. Because we sought the Lord at one time. And we involved the Lord in all of our decisions. Our political decisions as well. They used to pray in Congress. Not just an opening prayer. But they spent time praying and seeking the face of God. Seeking the wisdom. The counsel of the Lord. And the same thing is true as individuals. We, if we're wise, we will always seek the counsel, the wisdom, the direction of the Lord for our lives. But Babylon, historically, is a real place. It was a real place. And the prophet Daniel lived in Babylon, as you remember. And it was the capital city of one of the greatest world empires. Because Israel had sinned against God, they found themselves in captivity in Babylon, and because of the rebellion, right, against the word of the Lord, they lost their personal freedom and became slaves of their enemies. Hear what I'm saying today. Because they rebelled against the word of the Lord, they lost their personal freedoms and became enslaved by their enemies. We have been given a window of opportunity in America. And I pray, Lord, wake up the church. Wake up your people. Wake me up. God wants to change things. God wants to reform things. But it requires you and I repenting, turning back to God. Not just checking the box on the way in on Sunday mornings, but on a daily life, amen, of living right before the Lord, honoring the Lord, being salt, being light, being a good example in this world. And we can only do that by the ability God supplies by his Holy Spirit. The Christians in America, we need to wake up or we're going to lose our freedoms. I believe Babylon is also a metaphor, and it represents this world system. Again, that is in rebellion to God. So it represents an anti-God system of power. Babylon is really representative of the world, as we read in John. And Babylon is arrogant and prideful. It's godless. And godlessness leads to shamelessness. So it's shameless and corrupt and perverse. And Babylon is always opposed to the truth. But love rejoices in the truth. Babylon rejoices in evil. The world glories in its shame. But love rejoices in the truth. We love the truth. We embrace the truth. We're hungry for the truth. We want to know him because he is. Jesus is the truth. And is he the only way to the Father? The only way of salvation? And is the answer for the world today? He's the answer for all the mess that you're looking at even around us in this place we live is because of godlessness, which leads to shamelessness. And people cast off all restraints. Their minds become so darkened that they're not even able to see anymore. The people of Babel see that first reference really in Genesis 11. They pulled together and defied the authority of God. Mankind, it's nothing new under the sun. But really, they joined forces with Satan, who in his pride and arrogance was cast out of heaven. And so the first Babylon was in Genesis 11, verse 4. They said, the people of that time, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us, here it is, us, me, make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So what were they doing? They were rebelling against the clear direction of the Lord. Because the Lord had instructed them to do what? Spread out, right? And what did they say? We will not. We will do whatever we want to do. And nobody will tell us what to do. Remember after the flood in Genesis 9:1. This is the second time that God has said, be fruitful and multiply. But he said, go bless Noah. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and what? Fill the earth. So instead of spreading out, they arrogantly ignored God's command. And they said, come, verse 4, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So instead of submitting to God, they decided to ignore God completely and make a name for themselves. That's what exactly is happening today in the world. A coming together of the nations to defy the authority of God, where man will be God. But it's not going to succeed, because the Lord will be glorified in all the earth, and every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. I bow now because I fear the Lord, and I know the Lord means what he says. And it's time to wake up if you've been asleep and turn to the Lord, the only one who can save you and deliver you from this sin-sick world. Amen. And bring you into his freedom, his liberty. Hallelujah. They were basically saying, we will not have God rule over us. We will be our own gods and we will do whatever we please. What does this mean? Lawlessness. Jesus said that's what was going to characterize the last days, lawlessness, and that's what we're seeing. So whenever man tries to live independently of his creator, it always results in dysfunction. Babylon is a pride movement. Sound familiar? It's man's attempt to exalt himself above his creator. And this was the exact fall, what caused the fall of Lucifer. In Isaiah 14:12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God gives his grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Pride always leads to rebellion. Rebellion is a fruit of pride. Rebellion is basically defying God's authority. In Romans 1 and verse 18, it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are what? Without excuse. And verse 26 says, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For what reason? Because they refused to acknowledge the Lord or be thankful. Their hearts became darkened, and they became enslaved to Satan and his devices. And they were given over to that which they wanted, because God gives you a choice. As for me and my house, for even their women exchanged, hear it. You listen today, say amen. Amen. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Verse 27, likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Today, the LGBT movement, the abortion industry, the climate change and population control agenda is all in defiance, hear me, to God's command to multiply and fill the earth. Talk about an extinct species here. God the Creator defines gender, not man. God the Creator sets the rules and boundaries for mankind. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. I don't know about you, but that to me looks like two genders. He created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. We are ambassadors representing God. Amen. In the earth. But rebellious man says, we will do whatever we want. And who will stop us? Well, the answer to that question is God will, eventually, if you do not stop yourself, if you do not repent. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, this says the Lord isn't really slow, being slow about his promise. As some people think, no, he is being patient for your sake. Listen, this is God's heart. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. He's being patient. It's his mercy. He's extending mercy. If people will repent, it doesn't matter how vile, how sinful, God will forgive. God will heal. God will restore. God can transform you into a brand new creation. Amen? But what we see is this arrogant pride today. And the fruit of pride is also violence. And it's basically mankind defying God's authority and says, I will do whatever I want to do. And nobody will tell me what to do. But again, the Lord isn't slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. So the godless, they portray themselves as being confident, as being in charge, as being in control. We watch some of our politicians parade themselves around as being confident and being in control, whereas deep down inside they're insecure, they're anxious, they're fearful, and they're protecting their territory. Because if you put yourself in a position, amen, God didn't put you there, now you got to live the rest of your life trying to defend something that God didn't put you in. And so people that want power, that thirst for power, are the prideful. And these people have to live, amen, and they will do whatever is necessary to stay in power. In reality, they're in constant fear of losing their power and their influence and their wealth because they have no peace. In reality, man apart from his creator lives in constant fear and anxiety. How do I know that? Because that's how I used to live. I was fearful. I was anxious. Oh, I could put on a facade. I could act tough. I could act like I had it together, like I was in control. But inside, I was very insecure. I was anxious. Why? Because I lacked the peace of God. And mankind, apart from his creator, will be anxious and fearful and insecure and unstable. And God wants to make people whole. He wants to bring them into wholeness. That's why we should never affirm people in their brokenness by approving of something that you know is not right for them, that God does not design them for. Amen. And so we need to love people enough to speak the truth and love to them. Amen. See, God has something better for you. His way is superior to our way. We need to trust him. Isaiah 48:22 says, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Doesn't matter how people act. Many of your Hollywood stars know how to act. They're good at acting. But without Christ, amen, we're without peace in this world. People need the Lord. Somebody say, people need the Lord. We need to share the gospel with people. People need to understand that there is no true peace without Jesus. God is love. So God tells us the truth because he loves us. And wherever there is a lack of God, there will be a lack of peace. So if I don't have peace in my heart, it means there's a lack of the Spirit of the Lord in me. There's a lack of God's presence. Amen. Why? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Because the Lord is our peace. So if I don't have peace, it means I lack something. And that means I lack Jesus. Amen. How many know you can have Jesus in the house and ignore him? You need to be in communion with the Lord in your heart. You need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that you don't find yourself being fearful and insecure and anxious. Amen. And unstable, because the Lord is the one that will bring stability to your life. The Lord is the one that will give you a supernatural confidence and a peace that passes all understanding and the ability, amen, to live without fear in this world. He will give you the ability to live without fear of death. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because when we are at peace with God, there is no fear of death. 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect or more complete. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. There are a lot of people who don't have confidence about this. They're not sure about their eternal destiny. There are some people that are always questioning whether or not they're a child of God. Our faith needs to be in the promises of God and not in our ability to save ourselves. The problem is ourselves. The solution is Jesus. You've got to give your life to Jesus. Surrender yourself to him, and then he, as the master potter, can make something beautiful out of your life. Such love, God's love, God's agape love, has no fear. Because what perfect love casts out or expels all fear. If we are afraid, hear it, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. God wants us to be brought into a place where we have full assurance of His faithfulness, of His salvation. Amen? So God is calling us, His people, out of Babylon, out of Egypt. Don't allow anything to keep you tethered to your old way of life. You have to break all those ties, sever every tie to the old way of life. Because in Christ you become a new creation, and God has a plan, a purpose for every one of us. Amen. And so in order for us to walk forward, we cannot be tethered by anything. We have to completely cut out Egypt. Amen. Cut off ourselves from the past, from the world. That's what water baptism represents, doesn't it? It means a cutting off of the old me, the old life. The old Keith is dead. Amen. I now walk in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every day in the new life. I rely now upon the Lord who gives me the ability to overcome by His grace. So in 2 Corinthians 6:17, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know what? I heard another one in Revelation 18:4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. Talking about Babylon, the world. And lest you receive her plagues. Come out of her, my people. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather than what exposed them. You go down to the bookstore, Barnes and Nobles, is it? And you look at the shelves today, especially for young people. It's all demons and devils and witchcraft and Satanism and sorcery. It's just saturated with all this stuff that God calls an abomination. Do you hear me? God calls it an abomination. And I hear reports of even youth pastors playing Dungeons and Dragons and Pokemon and these other games that are associated with the occult and basically introductory witchcraft with their students. Where is the discernment? You see, if you want to play with fire, you will be burned. You open the door, the enemy will take advantage. And when he starts to encroach on your life, the first thing he does is he begins to blind you. And you become insensitive. And your conscience becomes seared or ineffective. And before you know it, you're doing things that at one time you would have never even considered, because the enemy is very subtle and he works subtly. And he looks for some way to get into your life. That's why we should have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Close the door, right? On the devil. And then we got to pray for people because they have opened themselves up to things, sometimes in ignorance, sometimes we just didn't know better, but sometimes we've just decided, it's not a big deal. I'm going to make a little compromise with evil here. And how many know the enemy just wants a little compromise with evil? Just a little peek. God help us. The Lord loves His people. The Lord wants His people to be healthy spiritually, amen, in every way. He wants to do us good. But we've got to listen. We've got to obey Him. If you want God's blessing, God's favor in your life, Submit yourself to him. Obey him in all things. Let him be Lord, amen, of your life. And put away anything that's in any way connected to the occult, to darkness. Quit feeding yourself the garbage, amen, that's coming through. And these movies, these horror movies that are all glorifying evil. I mean, I could go on and on about this, but where is the conviction? When you're in right standing with God, amen, you understand these things. Your discernment is on high alert. You're able to see clearly because you're in the light. If we walk in the light, amen, we're going to be able to see what's happening. Remember sometimes going into a visiting somebody's home. They were away for a while. And they asked me to take care of some things. And so I went in and I turned the light on. And boy, things looked okay until they turned the light on. But when I turned the light on, it was dust that was just piled up. The dust, I don't know how long it had been since it had been dusted. But, you know, I've shared that story when I was in Georgia, you know, of the cockroaches. When did the cockroaches usually come out? At night. They like the dark. Amen. And you get up in the middle of the night, you want something, get a midnight snack or something, hit the light, and all of a sudden they're just going, phew. How many know that that's what God wants to do to every one of us? Amen. Is he wants to drive out all the darkness, drive out anything to do with the enemy. He wants us completely free. Amen. In him, he wants us delivered. And we do that by cooperating with the Holy Spirit, by obeying his word. If you will obey the voice of God, God will grant you the grace to walk in freedom. That's where it comes from. It's by his grace. Jesus is calling us to join him outside the camp. That means that we're going to have to reject this proud, godless, shameless, corrupt world system that is in rebellion to his authority. In Hebrews 13 and verse 13, it says, so let us go out to him. To where? To who? To Jesus. Outside the camp. And bear the disgrace he bore. The world is not going to understand you. The world is not going to love you. The world will hate you. Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you also. But we need to stand for the truth. Amen. Because it's only the truth that's going to set people free. Amen. And keep you and I free as well. And so we need to make a decision who we're going to serve. You cannot serve two masters. Amen. Are you for Jesus? If you're for with Jesus, amen, then get with Jesus and walk with Jesus and obey Jesus and allow Jesus to be Lord of your life. And as you do that, amen, you will walk in his victory that he's already accomplished for you. He's already broke the power of sin. He's already broke the power of the devil in your life. Amen. Enforce it in your life by cooperating with the Holy Spirit and obeying his instruction and have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Let's go out, amen, and join with Jesus in his mission. As the old song says, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Somebody say, gladly bear. Gladly bear. For he'll call me someday to my home far away, where forever his glory will share. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. And don't be ashamed to say that you know him. Count the cost. Take up your cross. Follow him. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me still, I will follow. I'm going to be an example for my brothers and sisters. Amen. I'm going to follow Jesus. Listen, verse 14 says, this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's give God praise. Amen. And do what? Proclaim our allegiance to his name or give thanks to him. Amen. Because in Matthew 10:32, guys, hear this today. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I'm not ashamed to let you know. I want this light in me to show. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ.